brings light. And Father, we simply want to ask today that as we unfold this story, that you would bring light to us today. Light that guides us, light that brings us hope in darkness, the light of our Saviour Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen. I guess that all of us in this room are a little bit wary of those who tell us about the future. Are you one of those people, kind of a skeptic? So, you know, let's just pick on some of our own kind to start with. But, you know, people who own the name Christian and have predicted the end of the world at several points, and those dates have come and gone. You're wary of them, aren't you? Or perhaps in a setting like this, you know, maybe someone has said to you, you know, I have a word from the Lord for you, and you know, this is what's going to happen, but it comes and it goes and it doesn't happen, and we then get very skeptical about people who tell us the future. Perhaps we're skeptical about those in our society who are trying to tell us what the future holds. You know, if you invest your money here, or if you, you know, do this, or this is what's going to happen to our country, and it doesn't. We're skeptics, aren't we, about people who say with some kind of confidence, this is what the future holds. And yet, and here's the quirky thing about our characters, and yet at the same time, if you're like me, we're deeply intrigued about what the future holds. There's something in us that just says, I really want to know. I want to know what the future is. I want to know what's going to happen. I want to know what's going to happen to me. I want to know what's going to happen to our world. We want to know the future. And so what I want to suggest this morning then, because that is true, if you're like me, that you're wary of people who tell you the future, but yet you want to know, I want to tell you that chapter 40 of Genesis is a chapter that should make us sit up and listen this morning, because it actually talks about this man, Joseph, who has this telling about the future that comes true. And as we come to Genesis 40 this morning, this story of Joseph, these two men, these two dreams that we've just had read to us, I want to tell you, my prayer is that it will confirm to us this morning, and we're going to have to go on a journey to get there, but it will confirm to us this morning that Jesus is a man to be listened to when it comes to talking about the future. Jesus is a man that we should listen to when it comes to talking about the future. And so you may be thinking, how on earth do we get from Joseph to Jesus and all this stuff? Well, let me show you. The first of all, I just want you to observe that actually in our story today, we return to a suffering son. If you've been with us through this story of Joseph, Joseph is a son, the son of Jacob, who is away from home. He's away from his father's side and he's suffering. So first of all, he's abused by his brothers. He is sold into slavery. He's a slave. He's then accused of a crime he did not commit. And then he is put in prison. This is a suffering son. Just have a look. We're going to leap into the middle of the story for a second. Verse 15. From his own lips, Joseph recounts something of what he's feeling right now. Have a look at verse 15. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. Joseph isn't just suffering, but he's an innocent sufferer. He has done nothing wrong, and yet he is experiencing all this suffering upon his life. He is a righteous sufferer. And therefore, I hope you can see this morning that immediately, and particularly if you've been hanging around church for a while, Joseph is a character in the Bible that points us forward to another suffering son, an innocent sufferer, the Lord Jesus. There's a parallel between Joseph and Jesus in this story. Jesus is the son who suffered for doing nothing wrong. Jesus is the one who found himself accused of crimes he did not commit. And so there's the parallel. You understand that with me? Joseph, a suffering son, points us forward to Jesus. And therefore, I want to show you three things about the suffering son that matter to us today. Here's the first thing. The suffering son is a man to be listened to about the future. At the heart of this story, as we read through, as Hillary read through it for us, I hope you saw that we encounter two men. And these two men have two dreams about two futures. Two men, two dreams, two futures. One is a future of life and restoration. The other is a future of death and punishment. And if you follow the story with me, let me show you how that works. Joseph, you see verse 1 to 3, just scan an eye there. He ends up being in prison with these two men, a cupbearer and a baker of the king. And if you look at verse 1, these two men have ended up offending their master. So that they are in prison, they're put in prison for a reason. Now we're not told what they did to offend the king, but we're told that they sinned against the king. That's what it literally translates as. They sinned against the king. They're in prison because they deserve to be in prison. And they're entrusted to the care of Joseph. Joseph, who's been blessed by God, Joseph, who is attentive and is working in this prison. And then on one morning, you see, Joseph, as he's going about his duties, he notices something about these men. Look at verse 6. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. You know that kind of, when you wake up grumpy, you got that long face on, he goes into the prison cell, you know, hey boys, how you doing this morning? Oh, was it bad night's sleep? You know, just sitting there. They're looking dejected. And so he asks them, well, what's the problem? Verse 7. What's the matter? Why do you look so sad today? And then verse 8, they said, well, we had these dreams, but there's no one to interpret them for us. And Joseph turns around and says, well, do not interpretations belong to God? So as this story is unfolding, you see, you've got two men dejected, sad, because they've had these dreams and they don't know what they mean. Now, if you're following the story with me so far, actually, in Genesis, dreams come from God. God has given these messages to these men, and Joseph, this suffering, innocent son, becomes the one who then kind of delivers the message about these futures to the two prisoners, to the cupbearer and to the baker. Joseph tells them about their futures. So to the cupbearer, he has this dream about this grape squeezed into the cup of Pharaoh. And if you look at verses 12 to 13, it's a future all about restoration. The cupbearer is going to be lifted up. He's going to be restored to his position, forgiven by the king, and he'll be back in the king's service. But then if you look again at the baker, well, he's thinking, well, I'm well in there. The cupbearer had a great interpretation. I'm going to tell him my interpretation, my dream. But then verse 18 and 19, actually, his dream isn't so favourable. This is future number two. This is what it means, verse 18, Joseph said. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh. And the significant thing about this story as you go through is that the words of Joseph come true. And that's what I want you to notice. You know, there's lots of people, we can be skeptical about lots of people who tell us the future, but the words of Joseph come true. Look at verse 20. Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. So I've summarized the story, okay? Two men, two dreams, two futures, and it's all told through this one man, the suffering son, Joseph. Now, the question we've got to ask ourselves this morning is, what's that got to do with us? This is an ancient story. It's kind of tucked away in a prison somewhere in Egypt thousands of years ago. What's that got to do with us? Well, Joseph, like I've already said, is a character who leads us to Jesus. Jesus is referred to as the suffering servant. And I have to say that as I read this story over and over again this week to preach it, do you know where my mind chased in the Bible? My mind chased to the way that Luke tells the story of Jesus' crucifixion. In Genesis 40, we see Joseph, innocent, sitting between two criminals, two men who deserved to be in prison. In Luke 23, we see Jesus, the innocent sufferer, nailed to a cross between two criminals, two people who deserved to be there. In Genesis 40, we see Joseph speaking of the two futures that these two men in his prison are going to face. In Luke 23, we see Jesus speaking to those criminals on the cross, in effect telling them about the futures that they will face. One of the criminals that hangs next to Jesus is one who refuses to accept Jesus as Saviour. He hurls insults at Jesus. He mocks Jesus. And he just says, well, you know, save yourself, save us. Come on, sort this situation out if you're some kind of Saviour. Implication, I don't think you're very much a Saviour. And what was his future? Well, actually, it was captured by the other criminal. Because the other criminal said, we're getting what we deserve. And this man, this criminal, was being punished. And what does his future hold? He'd offended the king. He'd rejected Jesus as Saviour. And this criminal was going to face a future, an eternal future of punishment and death for the way that he treated Jesus. But what about the other criminal? What does his future hold? Well, as he hangs on the cross, he has this moment of realising that he deserves to be there. We're getting what we deserve, he says. But then he turns to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turns around to him and says, truly, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. You see why the story reminds me of that story? Joseph between two criminals, speaking of their two futures. And here we transport ourselves to the New Testament and we see another man who's numbered among the transgressors, though he's innocent of crime. And yet he stands and he speaks of two futures, of two people who are beside him. Jesus is the suffering son and he is a man who is to be listened to when it comes to the future. Like Joseph, Jesus came with a message. He came with a message about two futures, one of which will await all of us in this room. A future of life, to put it in the story of Joseph, of restoration, you know, being restored to the king's service. Or a future of death and punishment. Why? Because we've sinned against the king. Because we've rebelled against the king. Like Joseph, whose words came true, Jesus is the God-man with all the authority of God, who must be listened to as he speaks to us about the future. These are words that you know, but let me just read you some famous words from John's Gospel. And I want to show you, see, Jesus came with a message about two futures and he's got to be listened to. He says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, future one, but will have eternal life, future two. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, future one, but to save the world through him, future two. He goes on to say, whoever believes in him is not condemned, future two, being saved. But whoever does not believe stands condemned, future one, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You see, it's clear in Jesus' teaching, isn't it? He came as a man who told us about the future. Two futures that await all people. Eternal life or condemnation, life or death. Just like these dreams are about for these two men in prison, life or death. Or again in John 3 verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Jesus tells us about the future and he tells us that what the future holds for us depends on what we do with him. It all hinges around Jesus. It all hinges upon our faith and what he did. And so what are we going to do with the words of Jesus? What are you going to do with his message about the future? Why can you be so sure this morning that the words of Jesus about the future are true? Because his own resurrection is proof for us. You know, we're coming up to Easter. And it's his own resurrection that makes us absolutely sure that what Jesus says about the future is true about the future. Because he's been there. He's been through death. He's come out the other side. And he says, this is what it holds for everybody who believes in me, and this is what it holds for everyone who doesn't. So let me ask you this morning, what does the future hold for you? I'm not talking about your career or your health or your finances. I'm talking about your eternal future. What does your eternal future hold? Will you listen to the Lord Jesus as he speaks about two futures? There's so many lovely parallels with this story to the Gospels of Jesus. But look at verse 14. This is the flip way round. But when all goes well, Joseph says, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. You see, here's another parallel. And it changes the imagery slightly. But on this moment that Joseph says, remember me, you know, kind of get me out of here. Get me out of the mess that I'm in. Now, sadly, the guy goes away and forgets about Joseph. But as you come to Luke 23, does the criminal on the cross get treated like that by Jesus? No, Jesus says to him, you know, today you will be with me in paradise. He asks to be remembered, and he can be totally assured that he will be remembered. Because Jesus is the one who says, I'll remember. It's no forgetful cupbearer. Jesus is the man to be listened to. And I want to tell you this morning, that's true for you if you're not sure about your future. So if you've come this morning and you're thinking, hey, I'm not too sure what my future holds. I don't know, you know, which of these two eternal futures. Then if that's true for you, then I'm telling you this morning, listen to the words of Jesus. And put your trust in him, and then you can leave here this morning sure of what your future holds. And for the rest of us this morning who are trusting in Jesus, the one who has told us about the future, and we say, yes, I believe you. I believe that if I put my faith in you, I have eternal life. Then this morning, you've got to take this as assurance. You've got to take this as a precious gift from God this morning, that Jesus is the man that we should listen to. And whatever may knock you off course in life to doubt whether these are really the futures, actually believe Jesus. Jesus is the one who says with certainty over us today, today you will be with me in paradise, because we've believed him about the future. Jesus is a suffering son, a trustworthy son, who is to be listened to about the future. So will you listen to him? Second thing I want us to see in the story this morning is that Jesus is a suffering son who calls us to remember him. Now let me show you what I mean. Look at verse 23. So cupbearer gets restored. Verse 23, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Now, here is a man. I want you to get into the story, okay? Are you still with me? I know we've all lost an hour's sleep, and some of you are looking like we've lost an hour's sleep. But here's the story, okay? This cupbearer gets lifted up. His future comes true as predicted by the sun, and he's restored to the service of the king. He's back into the palace. He's forgiven by the king. You know, he's out of prison. He's no longer got a debt to be paid. And here he is. He's going about his duty. But what does he do? He forgets the one who helped him. He forgets the one who, in effect, was part of God's means of him of coming to this future. And friends, I've really felt this week that aren't we so quick to do the same when it comes to the Lord Jesus? Now, you know, you can't say, oh, I don't forget about Jesus, you know, hear about him every week, you know, I get my Bible. But actually, sometimes we are forgetful of the fact that he's the one who gets us to this position of restoration. Jesus restores us to life and to relationship with God. If you want to put it in the terms of this story, he restores us to the king's service. You know, we're people who deserve to be in the king's prison because we've offended our great king, our father, our God in heaven, our creator. But now in Jesus, by trusting Jesus, we're restored to the service of the king. You know, we're serving, we're with him, we're forgiven people. But how quick we are in our restoration to this wonderful place of blessing that we've spent so much time singing about. How quick we are to forget Jesus who got us there. And we start to rely on ourselves. You know, well, I'm here because I'm a good boy, or I'm here because I've done this or I've done that. And actually, that's not why we're here. And perhaps we're quick just to be forgetful because we just get stuck into the everyday of life. You know, I'm sure if we'd have walked with the cupbearer, he would probably was just get busy getting back on with the duties he had to do. Life just took over. And so often just the duties of life for us, parenting and work and getting stuff done, it just takes over. And what happens is we become forgetful of Jesus. But actually, I want to tell you this morning, we have a Lord, innocent of sin, yet suffered even to the point of death for us. And he did that so that we might be restored. And do you know what he says? We have a Lord who calls us. Look at verse 23. Sorry, look at verse 15. We have a Lord who calls us to remember him. Sorry, verse 14. But when all goes well with you, remember me. We have a Lord who calls us to remember. On the night Jesus was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had broken it and given thanks, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We have a Lord who calls us to remember him. Why? Because you never move on from Jesus. Friends, if you're a believer here this morning, you are what you are only because Jesus suffered in your place. And you must never, never move on from him. Never move on from the cross. Never forget the Son who suffered, that the Son who came into our world as a servant and who took on the nature of a servant, becoming obedient even to death on a cross. Never forget him. Jesus says, "Remember me." And friends, he says that because we're so prone to forgetfulness and we're so prone to pride and self-reliance. But he calls us to remember him. And I need to put before me daily the cross of our Lord Jesus, the suffering Son who has restored me to service of my great King, our great God. Will you remember him this week? Over a cafe discussion later, we're going to talk about ways that we can really build that in. But every day should be a Jesus remembering day, because we have a suffering Son who calls us to remember him. And then third of all, I want to show you this morning that actually the suffering Son is a man who teaches us to serve in our sufferings. I used to do, until I had some weird reaction to running, which most people would pay for, but I had this weird reaction to running. But until then, I used to do a 5K run on a Saturday morning round Pimm's Park. And it was really good. Now, one time, I just remember really distinctly, this dad brought his child with him. And this child was really ready to go and sort of pounding, just getting going. And then they went really hard and fast for the first 500 metres. And then the child sat down on the grass because it started to hurt. And this dad was trying to coax this kid up, you know, this suffering. "Oh, no, it hurts. I don't want to do anymore." And this child's sitting on the grass. Get up, get going." But actually, when the going got tough, what happened with that kid? The sufferer sat out. That's what happened. When the going got tough, the kid just planted himself on the grass and said, "I'm not doing anymore." And now, isn't there a danger that as followers of our Lord Jesus, that when the going gets tough, we'd rather sit out than keep serving? But that's not what Joseph does in this story, is it? Joseph was a man of faith. He believed in his God. We've seen throughout the story, he was someone who didn't want to sin against God. God was with him. But actually, however, he's also a man who suffered, isn't he, for doing good? So if you're familiar with the New Testament letter of 1 Peter, you'll know how much it talks there about suffering for doing good. And here is Joseph, a man who's suffering for doing good. He's seeking to do his best in life, but he ends up in a prison for something he didn't do. He's suffering for doing good. And he's in prison and he has every reason to feel grumpy. Just look at the first three verses. You know, he's lumped amongst these guys who deserve to be there. You know, I think I'm trying to live out his experience for a moment. And I'm pretty sure I'd feel quite grouchy if I was in his shoes. You know, where's God in all of this? Where is, you know, what's going on here? But instead of sitting out, he serves. I don't know if you noticed that as Hilary read through. Look at verse 4. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph and he attended them. So he actually works hard in his time and circumstances that God has put him, even when that meant he was in prison, where most of us would have been grouchy and been sitting out on the side saying, "Well, if that's how God's going to treat me, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing." But actually, what does Joseph get on and do? He just serves, and he serves hard in the time and circumstances he's put in. Look at verse 6. These two men have dreams, and they've got sad faces. They've got kind of long faces. And actually, one of the things that happens is that he comes in, and he's attentive to their moods. You see, so he walks in, and they've got long faces. Now, what happens when we suffer normally is that we turn in on our own sufferings, don't we? We're not interested in others' sufferings. We just think about my sufferings. But actually, what happens here is he's looking outwards. And he's saying, well, look, you guys are sad. How can I help you today? There's a tendency there. Look at verse 8. What does he do in the middle of this whole situation where he sees these men? He takes this word from God and he passes it on to the chief cupbearer and the baker. So even in his sufferings, what's he doing? He's bringing the word of God to people. He's encouraging them. Now, I use the word here patiently. He's patiently suffering. Because actually, I think sometimes we lose sight of how long he was in this suffering. Just look at, there's a couple of hints. Verse 1, sometime later. Then again in verse 4. He's assigned to them, but then sometime later they had these dreams. You see, just as you go through the story, there's just these sometime later, the passage Nick's going to preach to us next week. You'll see chapter 41, verse 1, after 2 full years had passed. You know, it wasn't that his sufferings were kind of, you know, oh, you know, he was only there, you know, it was like a couple of days in Potiphar's house and then a couple of days in prison and then he's out and everything's okay. No, it wasn't like that. He was in this time of suffering for quite a long time. But patiently he waits on God. Now, does this not remind you of Jesus? Does this not remind you of the one who suffered for doing good? Does this not remind you of the one who, even in the middle of his sufferings, is looking out for the needs of others? So he comes, he takes on humanity. And even in his tiredness and his weariness, when he goes across a lake to rest and a crowd turns up, what does he say? He says, I keep serving. When he's hanging on the cross, where's his concern? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. He's so serving his Father in heaven that even in the moments of his deepest sufferings, he's caring for others. In John's Gospel, we have recorded about his mum, his biological mum. He says to John, you look after her. In his greatest sufferings, where he has every right to just turn on in himself and say, look, this is my moment of feeling grumpy right now, okay? What is he doing? He's serving. He's serving. He's loving others. And Peter says to us in the New Testament, he says, to this you, Christian, are called. Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Jesus sets us, his followers, an example to follow. That we serve. We serve through our sufferings. He calls us to serve, not to sit out. Some of us in this room are in times of suffering for various reasons. And sometimes we can't do more than our circumstances allowed, but he does call us to serve in the middle of our sufferings, to do the things he calls us to do. Like Joseph, we're called to live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The Lord Jesus calls us to do good to everyone as we have opportunity. The Lord Jesus calls us to serve him in the time and circumstances in which you are in right now. However hard they may be, however busy they may be, however much suffering you're going through, we're called to follow the example of Jesus and to serve. And there may be many reasons we're suffering. But Jesus is the one who patiently served in his sufferings. And here's the thing. This isn't a kind of a go home, try harder. The point is that as we remember the man who served us in his sufferings, he then equips us to serve in our sufferings as we follow him. With the help of Jesus, will you follow his example this week and serve in your sufferings, whatever they may be? Will we serve in and through our sufferings to be like Jesus where he's placed us? So I come back to where I started this morning, skeptical about people who tell us the future. Well, let me tell you that actually we don't have to be skeptical about Jesus, because Jesus is the suffering Son, the one who entered this world so that we could be sure about our future. He speaks to us about our future and he died to secure our future. And actually we must follow his example. We must remember him And as we remember him, we must learn to serve like him in our sufferings. Let's bow our heads, shall we? And let's pray together.